Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Man, put your hands together for Jesus. It is the Lord. I see God coming through for you in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I can't hear you clapping and giving the Lord a mighty shout of praise. Hallelujah. I believe God's power is not on lockdown. God's power is reaching us right where we are. Amen. Today I want to read this powerful testimony from our sister Ren in Memphis, USA. Amen.
Amen.
Delivered from COVID-19 diagnosis.
Wow.
I started having fever and chills with mild shortness of breath on the 20th of March. My body temperature ranged from 39 to 40 degrees Celsius. My local health provider carried out a COVID-19 test. And while I was waiting for the results, he put me on a treatment plan, but nothing changed. Since I had just returned from Africa, I also took an anti-malarial course, but I actually felt worse afterwards. After speaking to my pastor, Reverend Lindsay, I overcame my fear and I allowed my wife to finally call an ambulance on Friday, the 27th of March. I was given oxygen in the ambulance because my oxygen level had dropped to 87%. Upon arrival at the hospital, I was transferred immediately to the high-risk level. A doctor looked at me and said, "Oh, you definitely got a COVID-19, son. Definitely, you got it." Mercy. The doctor looked at her and said, "Oh, you definitely got the COVID-19, son." I was shaken to my core by the brazen, discouraging attitude of a medical practitioner. But I promptly retorted, "God forbid." Everybody shout, "God forbid." Even if it's a white man saying you've got COVID-19, shout, "God forbid." When I got to level 5, I settled in my room and I remembered the prophecy of our prophet. He said, "No one hearing my voice will be diagnosed or contaminated with that coronavirus in Jesus' name." I lifted my hand and with whatever energy I had left, I repeated that prayer. I was tested again for COVID-19 and it was negative by the grace of God. The test was repeated 3 times. It was as if they wanted me to have the virus. But it was still negative by the grace of God. The eventual diagnosis was a simple pneumonia and chest infection. I'm back home now. I'm doing very well. I'm healed by the grace of God, and I'm improving day by day. Thank you, prophet, for your prayers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. God is saving you too. Amen.
Hallelujah. What a blessing.
What a blessing.
You may be seated wherever you are, in your houses. And the few people that are here are also sitting down. Amen.
Amen.
Every sitting.
Every
sitting. I believe that many of us have been joining in the prayer times. And we are learning how to pray a bit more. And that is, all things are working together for our good. Amen. Including this pandemic. God is going to bring us out of the pandemic.
Amen.
With certain abilities we didn't have before. Even the church is getting stronger because we are becoming more able to know where we are through the technology that has always been there, but maybe we haven't used it as much. Necessity is the mother of invention. So necessity is causing us to invent new ways of serving the Lord. So wherever you are, this pandemic is working out for your good.
Amen.
There are many things that kill. This one is one that has affected the Western world so much and has also come down to Africa. Though not as much and not in the same way. We pray that it will never be the same.
Amen.
Because even in America, all the mortuaries are full.
Yes.
We don't have so many mortuaries here. And we have some people in the mortuary for years. I know somebody who's been in the mortuary for 5 years. And the family is not yet ready to bury him. So, this situation, by the grace of God, there are more epidemics in Ghana and in other countries, epidemics of malaria and road traffic accidents, cerebrospinal meningitis, Ebola, and so on, that are giving a much higher death toll. But only that because it is in our world, maybe it's not seen as an international problem. But that kill more people, far more in a year than all these. So, but it's working together for good.
Amen.
Because many things are being developed. And I pray in your life that things are going to work out for good.
Amen.
Every watching.
Every
Amen.
Watch.
Now. Now, we are going to give an offering now. Don't give yet. I want to, every giving. Yes. And I want you to listen carefully. You know, this plague has a financial effect apart from any other thing, especially if you live, you know, when you get a little money, then you eat. For instance, my caddy at the golf course called me that he has nothing, he has no food, he has nothing at all. So I have to send him money because he doesn't know what he's going to do next. So many people are affected financially. And my prayer is that as you are part of this mission and commission, you will be exempted
Amen.
From the economic holocaust that seems to be taking place. God will save you and all that belongs to you so that after this epidemic is over, or after it is declared over, do you see? You will be more robust.
Amen.
And I pray that everyone who is under the sound of my voice will believe more in not having debts and not being engaged in the deceptions of the world system of prosperity, which is to deceive yourself that you are qualified to have things that you are not qualified for, and to acquire them based on a deception and based on a future projection of what you may, perhaps, if possible, might, in case of perhaps end one day if everything works out. But I tell you, at Christmas time this year, I don't think anybody could imagine that the world we are in today will be shut down, literally, as it is. I don't think. As we were all wishing Happy New Year, a year of this, a year of that. And I was saying that it's a year of shepherding and a year of what? The Great Commission. We are on it. We are on the shepherding and we are on the Great Commission. Yes. Flow shepherding. We are doing it. So, once again, I'm coming to you about finances, about your finances. And I want you to give, because there's nothing like prosperity without giving. I want to say it again. When people are prosperous, either you will always have a dilemma when you analyze them carefully. Is it because they have that they are giving? Or are they having because they are giving? Did you understand the difference? Yes. I should say it again. Yes. Are they giving because they have? Or are they having because they give? I should say it again. Are they giving because they have money? They have a lot of money, so they are giving. Or are they having money because they give? Which one came first? It's like a gifted person. Every gifted, talented person who does well has hard work behind the gift. Like if you take music, you know, some people can sing. When they hear the music, they'll say it's do, re, fa, mi, so. They know it. This is mi, this is so, this is fa, this is re. And then there are others who don't know. Everything is do to the end. You can't tell. That is a gift. Now, you can have that gift. But if you don't work hard, you never amount to anything musically. And in fact, you could be someone who doesn't have that gift. But because you work hard, you catch up with those who are gifted. So you never know. Is it hard work or is it the gift? Somebody like Michael Jackson, if you look, go behind the scenes and see the work that they put in before they came up with, let's say, the Thriller, which he released at the age of 25, you'd be amazed at the amount of work that they do before one thing comes out. So when it comes to successful, gifted people, you're never sure whether it's a gift or it's a hard work. Till you go closer, you see that it's a hard work. At times you say no, it's a gift. At times you say no, it's a hard work. Sometimes you say it's a gift. That's the reality. Now, when it comes to money, you will also not be sure. Is it a giving or the having? Does he have or he gives? Which of the two is it that we are dealing with? But I want you to believe the Bible. Because all our problems come from the things we don't believe. All our problems come from what we don't believe. And therefore, we don't obey. You have to believe in giving. You have to believe in paying your tithes. Some of you feel you won't pay tithes. After Corona, I'll pay tithes. Continue. So, you must decide that you're going to be a giver in this season. And we are going to pray and ask God to remember all our gifts and all our offerings that have built churches. And now I'm encouraging people to give, you know, give a whole church. The other day, I asked people to give, build churches. You don't have to give the money even to the church. We just want you to build a church. You do something for God, you and your God. You can build a church with $10,000, a full church from beginning to end. And you can build a cathedral. Some have started to build cathedrals, even internationally. Yes. We're just paying for everything. So, you know, if I'm alive in 15 years, I'll be past 70. Yes. So, I mean, how much more is there to do? This is the time for me. My mind is that, look, anything there is, let me throw it in and give my best. You know, because, you know, this corona, there's a feeling that it brought, a feeling that will everything be normal again? How many have had that feeling? There's a feeling like, will everything be normal again? Yeah. Because, you know, the way things are going, I wonder when they can say that churches can gather. You just analyze and see. Something that if they are following the graphs, we are nowhere near where these people have reached. And we are now spreading. It's now going into the country properly and then moving. You see? So when will they say that churches or mosques or other groups can reopen? Do you see? Or whether we can have a crusade? Do you understand? Yeah. So, not only that, but many things look under threat. And that's why I start from the beginning. I sense in my spirit that this is like a night has come when no one can work. So I just want to say to everyone, if God gives us a chance again, it must be an all-out. Anything, for me, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do, I'm trying to finish my work on earth, do you see, so that the rest of the time is extra time. Like if I'm alive, it's just extra time. Like I finished my work. Like what Paul said, I finished my course. I've run my race. I've done whatever I want to do. So now I'm also trying to see what to do if I can fast forward everything. Do you see? And then it's like, Charlie, look, I've done my, if I'm around, it's just extra time. So I want us all to be having that mind from now. Lord, I'm finishing up what I wanted to give, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to say. I want to finish it fast. And it's done before the night comes. There are different types of night. One day I visited a brother who was sick. He was a pastor. He told me, no, now I can't go to church. I wish I could go to church. I remember all the meetings we had, all the camps. Sunday, I just sit in my room and I look because I'm not well. I can't go out. The night had come. I went to see him because I sensed he was going to go to be with the Lord. So I wanted to see him before he went. You know, people that have been with me for years, I like to see them. If they are going, I like to say goodbye. A few weeks ago, I went to see someone. I sensed that she was going. And I remember she came to the gate to say goodbye to me. And then she turned and she said bye-bye. And when I turned to say bye-bye, I knew that was the last bye-bye. And she's gone. We see ourselves in eternity. Amen. So, I don't know what I'm talking about. I think I'm taking an offering. Yes, we are giving an offering. And I want to say, there's a sense in which we must throw in, whilst it even can be used. You know, because there's a time when you have money, you can't even use it. It's nothing. Because look, all the things you need, you've got a cooking pot, you've got a frying pan. You've got a rice cooker. You've got a television. Tell the truth. You've got a bed. What else? I mean, when you want to buy again, what will you buy? Almost nothing to buy. It makes life quite useless. So if we have something that we want to do for the Lord, let's do it. So every everywhere, every giving. Take out your offering now and let's give like a kind of big punch to help the work of the Lord. Give your tithes. Everything is now. Give your tithes, give your offering by phone, by Momo, by the internet. You know, and I hope you stop saying, because I heard you the other day saying you didn't know how to do it. So please stop saying that. There's some way for you to say that. At this stage, you must know how to take out $100, 100 CDs. Let's give, this is an all out, Lord, give me a chance, another day should come where I can serve you and I can do my very best for you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your power. Father, bless everyone that is giving today. Give us more money than we had before the pandemic came. Grant us great power and great grace. Bless every giver. Do wonders in our lives. We thank you for your power and your blessing for everyone giving. Jesus. Take away dryness, barrenness, poverty. Cause us to be robust and capable of withstanding all pressures. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And let's welcome a song. Are we going to have a song during the offering time?
Deeper into God. Ooh, for many hours, staying in His presence and feeling His goodness. Turn off your phone and fall in love with God alone. We'll spend eternity with Him. I wanna go on deeper.
And deeper into your awesome God. And I believe the presence of God is here already. If you're watching, I want you to share the stream on Facebook, share the link to the live on Twitter and everywhere. Let's invite as many people as we can. I believe God has a word for so many people this afternoon, and your life will never be the same. So call someone you know needs to hear from God, needs to receive Jesus, and I believe today's sermon will transform their lives. Amen. It's time for the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is already hovering around us, and I believe that God is about to speak, and everything that's void and without form in your life is coming to life in the name of Jesus. If you are excited, stand to your feet. If you are expectant, if you expect God to speak to you, let's sing, "Nothing is Impossible." In Jesus' name.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Sing, hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God today.
Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone. Rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible.
Lift up your right hand and sing it from the bottom of your heart. Nothing is impossible.
It's impossible when you put your trust in God.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God.
Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
Come on, declare.
For everything, oh,
say yes, everything.
Yes, everything is possible.
Put your hands together as we welcome our prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Father which art in heaven, we thank you for the great opportunity that we have in this moment. Bless our lives, touch us powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, today, I want to continue on the very, very important subject of the serpent seed. And I believe that we are going to be powerfully blessed with this important message. So today I'll be sharing about sources of the serpent seed. Yes, modern sources of the serpent seed. All right, the sources of the serpent seed. Identifying the serpent seed, depending on how you want to call it. Because the seed of the serpent is the word that was placed into human beings. And in Luke 8 and verse 11, we see the parable is this. We have a song like that. It's part of our first love music. And it says, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So a word is a seed. A word is a seed. So when somebody puts a word into you, he has put a seed into you. The parable is this. The seed is the word. So when you hear a word from the Lord, a word of God, all right, you are receiving a seed. You may not know. You may not know. Do you see that a seed has been planted in you? Amen.
Amen.
So it's very important that you respect things that are said to you, things that are told you. I once watched a documentary about Bob Marley and how he became a Rastafarian. And in the documentary, spoke about this young boy who was fatherless in Kingston in Jamaica, Trench Town or whatever, and how he went out and there was this Rasta man who was talked to young people or the young guys, and he became his friend, and I think he was also musical, I don't know. And so as he kept interacting with this guy, and he adopted the man's religion or his ideas, the seed was put into him. And we had Bob Marley that we know. Yes. So you got to be careful what seed you receive, because the seed that you hear and you receive can actually change you. Now, seeds determine your color. Okay. So your spiritual color can change because of the seed you are receiving. Mm-hmm. Seed determines your face. Mm-hmm. Your face, after some time, you see that you look either like your mother or your father. Mm-hmm. Do you see?
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes there are children who don't look like anybody. It's an oblique seed. The height of somebody is determined by the seed. Because sometimes you wonder, how did you get so tall? Do you have tall people in your family? Your seed determines your breasts. Yes. Your buttocks. Sometimes your attitudes. Your hair. The kind of hair you have. That's why people choose. You know, we have different kind of hairdressers, or what do they call them? Hairdressers and salons. Hairstylists. There are some who know how to do certain types of hair. White people in Ghana, they go to certain places to do their hair. They don't go everywhere. But there are only certain places that know how to handle their hair. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. The same for black people abroad. They also have black people in Europe also have where they do their hair. And people who understand the hair. Because the hair is determined by the seed. So your spiritual characteristics in your ministry is determined by the seed that is in you. The seed that you've received from the people who have ministered to you, you see, determines what comes out of you. So one time I heard Benny Hinn talking about his heritage or his upbringing, and he said that he had been blessed to be exposed to the riches of ministry by so many great people of a certain who gave him a certain foundation in ministry. You know, Benny Hinn is very deep. You wouldn't know how deep he is into God. Very, very deep. He's very, very deep. That's the best I can describe. Yeah. Far deeper than almost any other minister I know. Yes. But you know, his miracle ministry or the outward that you see from the crusade is just like 10% of what he is. It's amazing. For instance, if he starts singing hymns, it's like an Anglican. He can sing so many hymns without even checking the words. It's like somebody who went to Wesley Girls, you know, who knows how to sing Methodist hymns without checking the words. So all those things are in the background of people. And so the seed has determined the color, your color, your height, your strength, your muscles, your fat, your voice. So much is determined by the seed. In fact, even today, your teeth, yes, your lips, your nose, yes. Like, we have a type of nose, an African nose, there's a European nose. And there's even a Jewish nose. Okay. Yes. The Jews were identified by those features. It's all from the seed. Even yesterday I saw some people are trying to say that those who will be affected by corona comes from their genes.
Okay.
Do you understand? Yes. Yeah, they are trying to also link and see whether there's some genetic thing that causes some people to be affected by that. They don't know what it is. So you must allow medical science to experiment. And sometimes the experimentation is what has brought about the discoveries. But when you are not sure what it is, sometimes you have to be part of the experiment to save yourself. Because maybe the experiment is your solution. So, seeds are very, very important. And the serpent planted a seed in man. And it has produced the kind of creatures we are. And we are really a far cry from how we were created. Far. I mean, you imagine Adam and Eve naked and not ashamed. Now, if the serpent hadn't come and planted that seed, there may be 5 billion people, or I don't know how many billion, all of us naked. Yes. Yes, and not ashamed at all. And not aware. You never tell somebody that he's naked. or she's naked. I know you can't imagine it. Yes. It's just amazing. So, there are so many things that have changed. Our nature has changed. We are not good anymore. We are corrupted, you see. And we've changed. The nature has changed because of the seed. Luke 8:11 says, the parable is this, or the mystery is this, that the seed is the word of God. That's the mystery, that the seed is the word. The seed that is being sown is the word. And a seed is not a stone. A stone, when you plant it, stays there as a stone. But a seed, when it grows and becomes something. Yeah. That's wild. And that's what we say. When you are sowing your seed as a money, it's not a stone that will never grow into something. By the seed, it will grow into something and grow up. And you see it and you say, wow. Are you there? So, we have seen that Satan planted that seed, and indeed, we are where we are today because of that. So today, I want to just quickly help us to identify serpent seeds. So that from today, if somebody says something, you just immediately say, that's a serpent seed. Right there. That is a serpent seed. Yes. It's a bad seed in my life. I reject it. Amen. Are you there? Yes. So now, the first, or if you like, you can call the message types of serpent seeds. Okay. You know, yes, types of serpent seed. All right? And I want you to notice these serpent seeds, especially if it is coming into you, because it will change your nature. It's not flat. It's not a stone. So serpent seed number one, the seed of the serpent, I'm giving you types, variations, sources of serpent seed, or I'm trying to help you to identify what is a serpent seed, okay? So number one, you can write it that way, the seed of the serpent is a seed of disobedience. This is a seed of disobedience. Now, why do I say that? Because the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees. Now, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God said, don't eat it. Don't touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, this is it. You shall not surely die. Disobey, isn't it? Yeah. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. God knows your eyes are going to be open. You'll be as God. And when the woman saw that what the devil was saying was right, true to a point, okay, that it was good for food, yes, true, but food gets out of your stomach very quickly. And it was pleasant to the eyes, and that your eyes are going to be closed in the evening, so that's going to be short-lived as well. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, that is a kind of wisdom. She took of the fruit thereof and did it. So she disobeyed, made her a disobedient person. And she gave out to her husband and made her husband also a disobedient person, even though it was indirect. Because you must realize that even though somebody deceives you to be disobedient, you are still disobedient. It's true. Even though somebody deceived you, you are disobedient. So I just want to say that. Why? What is the big deal about disobedience? Is disobedience any, does it do much? It does a lot. A lot. It changes your nature. You may not know, it changes your nature. When you meet a person who doesn't obey, or obeys partly, obeys later, obeys sections, you see the people are different. Because disobedience has in it all the seeds for curses. If you turn with me, I feel strongly to look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7. First, 7 and 8. All right? Who in the days of his flesh offered up, okay, prayers and supplications with strong crying. That's what we do on Tuesday and on Friday in the night, in the morning. All right? And he was heard. God hears. God's been hearing all our prayers. Amen. Verse 8. Now, though he were a son, he learned physics by the things which he suffered. He learned what? Chemistry. He learned what? Political science. He learned history. No, he learned one great important thing. Obedience. Obedience is something you learn. Life and many things about life in life will tell you and teach you how important obedience is. Obedience to God, first of all. All right? When I was growing up, I'm still growing up, but I was much younger then. About 40 years ago, I met a sister called Betty, and she taught me obedience from the word. She told me that if it's not in the Bible, you can't do it. And she taught me that anything that is brought up, should we do this or should we not do that, I must know from the Bible. The Bible says, if I can't come up with the Bible says for that, it can't be done and should not be done. So only things that the Bible says are done. It was a seed in me as a young Christian that the Bible says. And I remember then I was trying to be clever. So you know how it is when you want to be clever. Then I wanted to go to the I used to go to a race course every Saturday. I was joining the fraternity. We were gambling and learning how to bet and knowing the deceptions that are there. Because all the horses, you see 11 horses running a race and somebody has been told, hold back your horse so that this one wins. Yes. I started to know all those things. So I was there. So I was there, and you think it's a race, but it's not a race. Not a race, but it's not a race. Everything's not as it seems to be. I just want to sit quietly by your side, Lord. Yes. And so I was trying to be clever, and I asked her, so what about the race? Because I'm going to the race on Saturday. And she came up with a scripture. She said, yeah, she came up with a scripture. Yeah, she came up with a scripture straight away. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Anything that appears evil. Any appearance. Doesn't have to be evil, but there's an appearance of evil. Abstain from it. And straight away, that was the end of my racing career. A seed. She's not the seed in me. So for me, up till today, I need a scripture to either endorse what I'm doing or a scripture to tell me that what I'm doing is allowed or it's not allowed. Yes. That's a seed that was sown in my life. Now, Disobedience is the precursor to curses. Almost all curses come from disobedience. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, "It shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently," or listen carefully, "to the voice of the Lord, to observe," which is to obey, "to do," which is to obey, "that which I command thee this day," now you're going to be promoted. The Lord will set thee on high above all the nations. And then verse 2 says, all these blessings shall come. When you are getting married, we read out these blessings to the couple. The Lord bless you. May you what? Blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. You don't have to read. If you are in this church, you don't even have to read Deuteronomy 28, 1, 2, about verse 10 and so on. Because it's what we say at every wedding. You can watch it on your wedding video. You see that it's there. The Lord bless you. The Lord shall do this. If you hearken diligently, your basket, your store, the fruit of your womb, all people there shall see that thou art blessed. The Lord shall command his blessing on your storehouse, bless thee in the land. He will open his good treasure to give you rain. The Lord make you the head and the tail, not the tail. That's verse 13. And that's what, be above only and not beneath. That's verse 13 of Deuteronomy. That's the wedding blessing that we give. All right? If you hearken to the commandments of the Lord. And verse 14 says, you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left. Now, from verse 15, all the way to the end of the chapter, which ends in verse 68, we have curses for disobeying. 68 minus 15 is what? 53 verses of curses compared with 14 verses of blessings. And all this up to verse 68, all right, verses are for disobedience. That's all. Disobedience brings all the curses. And it says, if it shall come to pass, if you will not listen to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come over thee and overtake thee. Then he starts from verse 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thee when thou comest in, when thou goest out. Cursed, everything cursed. And it's from only one thing, disobey. And that is why Satan's desire to destroy you is birthed out of his knowledge of the curses. Because curses are implemented by demons. Curses are implemented by demons. They carry out curses gleefully on human beings. Yes. The demons are waiting for you to dishonor your father so that they can come to choke your eyes and to destroy you. They're just waiting for you to do that. They want you to do every bad thing. Do you understand? So that they can come and implement. Now that is why Balaam in the Bible was cursed. Balaam or Balak? Balaam, I think it is. Because he enticed God's people. He was trying to prophesy to them to sin, to do what against them, but they didn't. So what he did was that he led them to commit fornication. And when they did, it brought the curse. It's an amazing Balaam, that thing, what he did. Because you don't know what exactly he did, why he's such a bad figure. But he tried to prophesy, it wasn't working. So he went and enticed them to commit fornication, so that they would be cursed. Yes. So he made the whole town move into fornication. And then when they did that, the curse came on them. Curse, the Lord shall make the pestilence, that's the epidemic or pandemic, cleave unto thee, verse 21, until he has consumed thee from of the land. That is from disobedience. verse 22 says, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, which is a fever, and with a fever, an inflammation. Hey, you wonder why they know these words, inflammation. And an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. You know? Mildew is paleness, that's anemia. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And even as doctors, there are many things we see that honestly, with all our medical things, we are not able to understand. When he said, cursed shall thou be in the city and cursed shall thou be in the field, it's like the city is like a developed place and then the field is like undeveloped. So it means that if you travel to a city that is developed, like London or America, all the cities of America, like Boston, Chicago, Miami, New York, Los Angeles, you get it? You'll be cursed in the city there. Yes, you'll be cursed there. Like you are frustrated there. And then if you come to the field, you are in Accra, which will be a field relative to those places. Or let's say Kasua or Tepa, Bawe, Donkokrom, KJB, and other places. If you're flying over in the afternoon, you'll see a field, more of a field. Yes. So you realize that you the curse follows you there. That's why you find people living in all these cities, in Paris. It's one of the hardest, saddest places to be when you don't have money and you are a hustler. Paris, a lot of black people are really suffering. And in Italy. Yes. It's amazing. Now it says, the heaven above thy, that is over thy head, shall be brass, and the earth under will be iron. You know, brass heaven. Does rain come from brass? No rain. And then under, when you are weeding or digging, is iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. All right? Now, verse 25. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. That means you're always defeated. You go out one way and you flee seven ways. And the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. The botch is a boil or an ulcer. So ulcers, boils, emeralds are swellings like cancers. And with the scab and the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Like incurable conditions. Now, you know, all these things, you know, you cannot believe it till you see. You know, when you work in the hospital, you can become afraid. You know, when I was working in the hospital at that point, I said, I wouldn't like to be here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, medical people, they get used to sadness. There are many sad things in the hospital. They get used to it. Even in the mortuary, they get used to cutting up people that were working around the day before. It's a very bizarre, sometimes bizarre job. But everything that I'm reading exists practically. When you talk about itch, there are people with itch, and itch, you can't believe it. They can't. And the drugs that they take to just control themselves, you have no idea. Verse 28, and the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness, all from disobedience. Oh, there are a lot of things that come from disobedience. And astonishment of heart. Astonishment of heart is has to do more with confusion. This doesn't work. This is sad. This is, that's, you know, like it brings depression. But madness, it's like full-blown madness. We talk of a bipolar disease, schizophrenia, severe depression, all the other mental conditions and psychiatric conditions you can have, of which there are many. There are people that eat only feces. Like they go to toilets to look for feces to eat. Coprophilia. That's the problem that they have. Yes. I mean, there's every kind of curse. So what I'm saying is that what Satan was doing, you know, Satan's strategy is a two steps, disobey. When you have learned to fear God, do you see, you fear to disobey him with all your heart. I remember some years ago, I told one of my pastors to get a job. And he said to me that he really believes that he must be in ministry. And so even though I told him what to do, and he did what I said, but he said he feels something bad, something will happen to him if he does not go into the ministry. So when you've learned to fear God and fear disobeying, you fear to disobey God when it comes to the ministry. It's something you'll be aware that you can just die suddenly from disobeying God if God has called you. Are you there?
Yes.
And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled forevermore, and no man shall save thee. No prosperity. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. It's a curse. And thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. It's a curse. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. It's a curse. God is wild, though. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Yes. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored unto thee. Armed robbery. And thy sheep shall be given to thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue thee. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look. There are many children who don't grow up with their parents. Yes, it's one of the commonest things. Many people don't stay with their parents. For whatever reason, thy sons and daughters shall be given to another people. Even all this going abroad. So, my mother says she's going abroad to whatever. She's working there or she's doing whatever. And then your child is given to someone else. It's also a curse. Yes. And thine eyes shall look and feel for longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. Verse 35. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees. That's arthritis. And in the legs. These are specific cases. And with a sore botch that cannot be healed. Are you there? Verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword, like you used as examples. And when you are mentioned, your trouble is mentioned. The one who this, the woman with the issue of blood, the paralyzed man with the whatever, the blind Bartimaeus. Your name is not usually mentioned. And your problem, you are used as a proverb, as an example. As a, when they are doing a teaching and they get to bad things, you used as an example of a bad thing. Thou shalt carry much seed to the field, but carry little in. Yes, like you work for a long time and you get very little from what you are working. And that's, you see, medical doctors working very hard, going to school for years and years. The other day I was telling somebody, do you know what the professor is? He went to medical school for 7 years. After that, he specialized for another 7 years. Then after that, worked for another 7 years before he would become a professor, something like that. 21 years of university work. Yes. Verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, and thou shalt not enjoy them. Thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Enjoying your children is part of the blessing of God. Enjoying children. Playing with your children. Enjoying your children. Talking to your children. Having your children. Yeah, you say something. So I'm going to America. You've left your child for 14 years. And then you are in America sending $40 Western Union. You get what I'm saying? Yes. We don't realize that these are curses. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but shall not enjoy them. Your child is actually supposed to be a source of enjoyment. Yes. So when we also work and we don't see them, do you see? You don't see your children. And your children don't see, or they don't even want to see you, or whatever. It's all a curse. Children are supposed to be something that you enjoy. Yes. People who have good sons enjoy their sons. The sons will become like your friend. Those who have good daughters, the daughter will become even like your wife. At a point, she can even take over from your wife or even challenge the wife in terms of tenderness and delicateness. It's true. That's why people want to have daughters too. Because when a daughter also is good to the father, it is a nice thing. Yes. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. You see that in many African countries. You see, foreigners are the rich people in good neighborhoods. They have certain things. They live at certain places. They own many of the big things and the big businesses. If it is a big and successful business, it's a foreign thing. But you cannot go to Switzerland and you see a big building. Say, this is a Ghanaian owns this shopping mall, or a Nigerian. You see, even the law that they have does not allow it. Oh, yes, you can't. Not that you won't. You can't. You can't. They will not make a facility for you. If you're a foreigner, you can't even buy a house in their country. Yeah. You can't become a stranger and get up above thee very high. And then thou shalt come down very low. Demotion is a curse. No, this is a description of demotion. And it's from disobedience. So Satan wants to change the picture of your life. By his one small seed, thou shalt come down very low. Coming down very low is a curse. I'm reading it from the list of curses. It's all these curses shall come upon thee. Thou shalt come down very low. It's a result of disobedience. Severe demotion and being set aside. Then the next curse is, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. So lending has been listed as a curse. As somebody lending to you, and you also lending the money. Eh? Or borrowing the money. Honorable Injun. Yeah. It's a listed curse. He shall be the head and thou shalt be the tail. Yes. That is why God blessed me to see. When I see the banks smiling. You know, they always have a smiling picture. I said, we are your partners for life. We partner with you. You know, we understand you and all that. You can trust us and so on. There has never been a greater deception than that. Do you see? Moreover, all these curses shall pursue thee till thou be destroyed, because, verse 45 says, thou hearkenest not to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandment, but you listen to the serpent seed, which tells you, disobey this instruction. I just want you to see the effect of disobedience. Because I've realized that people do not. If God tells me, have a crusade, it is in my interest to have crusades. Yes, it is in my interest to have crusades. It's not in any interest than my interest, the one who has been told to do it. It is in my for my good that I just do it. If he has told me to pray, it is in my interest to pray. Yes, if he told me to pray, it is my interest to pray. Whatever God has told you, don't let the seed of the serpent, which is the seed of the serpent, is the seed of disobedience. Don't obey God. Don't obey God. Do something different. And I notice your very nature changes. You are not a nice person anymore. And your whole life, look at all these curses. When you look at a picture of somebody who has such curses, can you say, yeah, this is good people. Are these a nice whatever? It is not. You know, you'll never be the same. So, brothers and sisters, it's very important that you believe that the serpent seed is a seed of disobedience. That is number one. Point number one. I've just done one point. All right? Now, number two. A serpent seed. I want to give you a light one so that we can go on. The seed of the serpent is the seed of false doctrine. False doctrine. Matthew 16, verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spoke unto you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Jesus warned his disciples to be careful of the words of the Pharisees, the words, the doctrines. And I'm telling you that a word is a seed. And it can change you. Doctrines change people, change entire churches, teachings. So he was warning his disciples, be careful of this word, because it will change you. Now, most of the church is largely laden with this be happy, prosperity, good life message, which is not a false message. It's not, because it's in the Bible. There are scriptures for it. But it's not the main message. And that message has changed the church. That is why there are few, as Bronchi has died, there are few evangelists, few church planters, few missionaries. You rarely go to a church and find the word missionary. You go to a church and find the word missionary being used to describe somebody. From the where? To go to where? To do what? And go and do what where? Are you out of your mind? Let them perish if they are perishing. We are Christians here. So, the concept of missions, which is the concept of Matthew 28 and verse 19 about going into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, has been set aside, and a be happy life, have a good living, good life, be happy, happiness, which Paul said, anyone who brings you another gospel, apart from the gospel that I am preaching, let the person be cursed. In Galatians chapter 1, I think, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. The person should be cursed. Any other gospel, apart from this gospel, any other gospel. So these gospels that are being preached are seeds that have been sown in the church and have taken away our evangelistic drive. It's a seed in the church. The greatest men of God that we know and we all look up to have come with that seed and have planted that seed in the church. And the church has changed from an active, powerful, going into all the world group of people to a prosperity-seeking, never care about anyone, lovers of their own selves group of people, and are getting poorer and always talking about money. Amazing. It's true. And you know, the seed of the serpent is the word of the devil preventing you from working for the Lord. And that is why there have been people fighting my message even within the church. You know, they don't want me to talk about it, but I'm talking. Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 3. Now, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. And what was Pharaoh's main point? And Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh. They came to see Pharaoh. Huh? Two pastors. They came to see Pharaoh. And said to him, thus says the Lord God, how long will thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. So pride makes the spirit of Pharaoh prevent people from working for God. Wow. Yes. Pride. Oh, my son, my child should work in a church. My child should go on a mission. You to let your child go on a mission. What do you mean? And there's great pride. Even pastors in the church don't want their children to be on the mission. Yes. And you notice that Moses and Aaron spoke to Pharaoh about his pride. And that his pride was connected to him preventing people from serving God. When you prevent people from serving God, either directly, indirectly, through your insinuations or through your attitude, or through your lifting up your nose at that message, through your silence, you are realizing that the seed of Pharaoh says, no, you're not going to go. If you look a little further in Exodus chapter 10, verse 24, I like to read it. You see, you go down further, and Pharaoh, you know, I just want to say something. Let's read verse 20. Now the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he would not let the children of Israel go to serve God. That's Satan. A representative. Not let the children go and serve God. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Even a darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched out his hand, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. Now, the darkness speaks of destruction, wickedness, death, evil. 3 days, a thick darkness that you can feel. It came over those who lifted up themselves against the pure doctrine of the word of Jesus, I will build my church. Go into all the world. No, don't go into all the world. No, don't build any church. No, don't do whatever. Disobey it. You see? And Pharaoh is always against people serving the Lord. That's Pharaoh. He's the type of Satan, and the children of Israel were the type of the church. And Pharaoh will not let the children of Israel go, and there's always people that will not want the children of God to go out and serve the Lord. So he said, I'll show you darkness. No, one time I went to a church, and as I was leaving, I told them, do this. If you don't do this, a dark cloud will enter this church. And it's this kind of cloud. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Huh? You can't even see yourselves. Your life will not be normal because you are preventing people from serving the Lord. Or you prevent the work of God from going on by refusing to give and support what you could have given. You give to politics, to political parties. As we are in an election year, what are politicians doing for you? What has happened? And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go and serve the Lord. I've changed my mind. Only let your flocks and herds be stayed. Your money must not go. Your business must not go. And then your little ones can go with you. At first he said the little ones shouldn't go. Now he changed his message. You can go with the little one, but leave your money. And Moses said, our cattle will go with us. Not a hoof will be left behind. In other words, our money is going into the thing. Our business is going into the thing. Not a hoof will be left behind. For thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God. We don't know what we must serve the Lord with until we come thither. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart that he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said to them, get thee from me, take heed to thyself. He said, be careful for yourself. If you see my face no more, for in the day that you see my face, you die. And Moses said, you have said it well. I will see thy face again no more. You say, I will die. Okay, you will not see my face again. And God was about to release the last card, which was the blood. Yes. He said, I'll bring one more plague. And after that will be it. Pharaoh will let you go. So the seed of the serpent is a seed of a doctrine. And there's this doctrine that has come to the church to replace or cancel or negate the simple instructions of Jesus to the church. Build the church. That means buy books on church building, right. Church growth, developing the church, becoming a pastor, build the church. Go into the world. Preach the gospel. These are simple, beginning and the last. I'll make you fishers of men. Nothing else. But these are the things that are set aside. So that's why Jesus said, be careful of this living. Yes, that's why I put on Christian television. Rarely am I able to find anything I can watch. I thought I was the only one, so I kept quiet. One day I was watching Benny Hinn, and he said exactly the same. He said he finds it very difficult to watch Christian television. He can't find anything to watch. Rarely can you find people that are deep enough who can speak in a way. It's just stories, testimonies. My, this was that, and this, and God brought me through this and that. Little testimonies and stories and songs and so on. Hey! And messages about how to have abundance, how to be good, how things turn around, finances, this and that, good life, happy life, marriage, and so on. This is not why the Christianity came. And that's why Jesus said, be careful of the living of the religious leaders. They are preaching, and the way they speak, it changes things to change you. Number three, the seed of false safety is the seed of the serpent. False safety. False doctrine is a seed of the serpent. False safety. Yeah. There are people who want to give you a sense of safety in disobeying God. And they say, oh, things will be okay here. In Matthew 16, From that time, Jesus began to speak to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him and said, hey, be it far from you. You will never go to Jerusalem. You will never die. You will never suffer. You will only be blessed once I'm here. And my name is Peter. Wow. You can trust me. Trust me. I'm there for you. You can depend. Watch out for people who talk too much. Oh. Try not to talk too much. Too much talking exposes you. The devil even hears you. That's why I like tongues, because the devil can't hear some of those things. You are speaking in mysteries. He said, you are, so I love you. I will be this. I'll do this. I'll do this. Charlie, why don't you just let time pass and do it? Oh. But he turned unto Peter and said, Satan, Matthew 16, verse 23, Satan, get thee behind me. Thou art an offense unto me. It was a seed of the serpent that was coming to him. And he immediately recognized the seed of the serpent. And he said, hey, shut up. Shut up. It's a seed of the serpent. Thou art an offense to me. Thou savorest not the things of men, but the things that be of man. When Peter said, you cannot be killed, you cannot suffer. Immediately, Jesus recognized, ha! I shouldn't go to the mission. I shouldn't suffer for Jesus. I shouldn't give my life for him. What is it? What are you talking about? I shouldn't suffer for Christ. Huh? It's a seed of the serpent. The message against sacrifice. This book, Losing, Suffering, Sacrifice and Dying. I once went to America, a country which mocks at some of these things now, largely, a lot of the churches there. Losing, Suffering, Sacrifice and Dying. It was a book fair, Christian book fair. And a lady took my book and said, I can't speak the American way she was speaking. What a terrible title. No one will ever buy such a book. Losing, Suffering, Sacrifice. It's one of the best books I ever wrote. You know what the Bible says? It says that, but the gospel is foolishness to them who are perishing. But to us, it is the power of God. And he said the preaching of the cross is the power. So the more you preach the cross, the more power you have in the church. Okay. More preaching of the cross, more power. Because the preaching of the cross is the power. 1 Corinthians 1, 16. Yeah. The preaching of the cross is power. The more you preach cross, the more power comes into the church. The less you preach cross, the less there's power. Oh, I'm wrong. Am I not speaking English to you? Yeah. Losing, sacrificing, suffering, and dying. Amen. Are you with me? So false safety and avoiding sacrifice is indeed a very bad seed of the serpent. And it destroys you. Look at me. I'm in the ministry today. Satan wanted me to not to go into the ministry. I mean, I had relatives who would say, no. You can't do this. You can't do this. All of you who are listening to me and all the churches watching by television, by YouTube, by whatever, different groups and groups and groups all over the place. You get it? Don't be preaching here. Because that was Satan, the serpent seed, was going to turn me and change my life completely. You must be careful of serpent seed. People who seem to be giving you the safety that can, oh, you'll be okay here. You prosper here. This is okay. No. You die once I'm here. And you see, such seed can come even from the closest people to your life. So watch out from the so-called closest you have. Giving you false security. Yes. The so-called closest and best people. You know, closest assistants, wives, husbands, close friends. They can minister to you a serpent seed that would change your personality and your life. So you better watch out. And that's why I'm teaching you this, so that you recognize it. Eh? That's a serpent seed, though. Right there, that's a serpent seed. It's coming. It's a serpent seed. And then you reject it in the name of Jesus. Anyone that makes you not to love God as the number one is a serpent seed, I'm telling you. Amen. How many points do you have?
Three.
Only three. No, this is serious. Hallelujah. Then, the serpent seed is a seed of misdirection. to direct you astray. Matthew chapter 4, suggestions of the devil. The devil taketh him to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou cast thy foot against a stone. You see, there are things that you are told will kill you. You think that God is directing you, but it is not. Cast and fly when God hasn't said fly. With the scripture. And it was the devil who was speaking to Jesus directly. A seed was coming to him like that. Just as the devil spoke to Adam and Eve, the devil had no shyness to come straight up to Jesus and try to plant a seed in Jesus. And gave him a wrong direction for his life. Wrong direction. Fly. Fly ministry. He would have died. He would have died. I'm sure he would have died. And God would have taken him back to heaven to restart and replan how to send his son again. Yes. Yes. It's like he would have defeated the son. And if it was not, you see, what the Bible calls it temptation. A temptation is something that it's like you feel a pressure to do something. When you don't feel any pressure, you are not being tempted. That's what you must realize. If you are not under pressure or feel any pressure or any edge to do something, it's not a temptation. If there is an edge or a desire for something or a pressure, then it is a temptation. So for it to be called a temptation, it was like it was something that sounded good to him, like to his flesh. It's like, oh, wow. I mean, I am the Son of God. Fly. I can fly. I fly. I've been flying. I believe I can fly. Beware voices of deception. That is misleading. You know, I saw some people, they say because they are called, they are going to America to be in the ministry there. Yes. And just because America looks far more developed than Accra, or I don't know which town you are in. It's like, oh, when I go there, and that is a better ministry. I'll be whatever. So there are people that have 20 members. They would have had 2,000. But they have 20 members because they have decided to fly. Satan said, fly. Misdirection. Fly. Fly to America. Fly here. And they literally flew. Yes. He will bear you up when you fly. Yes. It will be okay. Everything is going to be all right. Fly. Go here. Do this. Go here. Leave the church. Leave the church. Start your own church. Do whatever. I don't mind this man. We all know how to do whatever. Fly. Fly. Make a move. Yes. Watch out for the seed of the serpent. It's a seed of misdirection. And many times you see, the devil comes with such serpent seeds. You know, if you live long enough, you by all means experience this serpent seed. One day you have something that will be telling you, go here, do this. Not, I don't mean temptation to sin, like the direction of your life. Fly. Fly, like your ministry, just demonstrate, show. Yes. You cannot join a church and say the seed of serpent will never come to you to leave the church. It is not. That is if God wants you to be in that church or to be in a ministry. There's nothing like that. It comes. Yes, it's just a matter of time. Jump. Jump off. Jump away. Jump over. Jump out there. Jump out of the cliff. Jump out of where you are. Fly about it. You know how hot that desert is. When we go to Israel, you see how hot it is. They have corona there now, but when it goes, how is hot. I've been to Israel in the summer before. Oh, no, no, no. Pray about it. Very hot. If you think Ghana is hot, Israel is hot. And Jesus was in the desert. Yes. Jump! And go. And when God has put you in a group, God showed me, said, I put you in this group. So once I belong to a group that God has put me in, I stay in the group. Even if there are some way or there are some ways, let's be there. Because at the end of the day, every human being is some way. You haven't seen the manifestation yet, but it is there. Yes. So watch out for the seed of the serpent of misdirection or the seed to jump. Where God hasn't told you, jump away. Foolish man, you are jumping too. Look at where you've brought everybody. Yes. I saw one brother. He was in a big ministry. And he had a seed, jump. And he jumped. He went to a church. When he got to that church, he said, we have a new way of doing ministry. In our ministry, the senior pastor is not the only person who preaches. We all, because like a democratic, because he had been speaking against the senior pastor. Why is he the only one who is preaching? We all preach. So in that church, everybody was allowed to preach differently. I tell you, the problem that he had at the point, the pastors of the church came together since they were all powerful, and they sacked him from the church. You know, the last time I heard, he doesn't even have a church. But he kept jumping from place to place. Every time I see, he's in a different church. Yes. So watch out for seeds of misdirection where you are not stable, because the serpent seed comes into you and says, leave where? Leave your fellow, leave your board, leave the group. Don't leave. That's why I'm part of what Yonggi Cho is doing. Anytime he says there's a meeting, I'll be there. Everyone be there. Everybody there. Yeah. Amen. The next one is the serpent seed of following desires. Yes. And then the devil, the tempter, came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Make some bread. Make some fresh bread. Look, one of the nicest things in the world is fresh bread. Is there anybody who has experienced fresh bread? Bread, look, is the commonest food in the whole world is bread. Fresh bread, very nice. If you're an expert at bread, you know the different types of bread. Yes. Bread expert. That's why the Bible speaks of bread. You have bread in the kingdom. Eat bread in whatever, not rice, bread. Bread is the main food in the world, not rice. Yes. Now, the devil came to Jesus and said, I know you're feeling. So when you feel, anytime you're having a feeling, and then the devil now comes with a seed to join to your feeling. Follow your feeling. It's a serpent seed. Just do it. It won't really change much. It will change much. Much will change. Yeah. So following of feelings and the devil urging you, nothing's going to happen. One more time. Flow, sister. Flow, brother. It's a seed of the serpent. So whatever desire you are feeling, even depression, people enjoy being depressed because depression has a feeling. You feel, I deserve to be sad. Yes. I deserve to be sad because I've suffered. And as I feel sad, I feel like I'm revenging against the unfortunate experiences that I'm experiencing. I'm an avenger. Of my sadness by going into deep depression. Yes. Self-pity. It's true. So watch out for that encouragement, demonic encouragement. Follow your feelings. follow your jealousies. Charlie, be careful of all these edges. So they are human edges. Follow your sexual desires. Express yourself. Hey. Jesus said, no bread for me today. No bread. I'm cool without bread. I'll stay without this bread. Because he rejected the serpents. It would have changed Jesus into something else. Our Jesus wouldn't be our Jesus. He wouldn't be our Savior. Because of blodo. Blodo. You are watching me. Send a text to that boy now that this is the last time you ever hear of me. You are a fool, and I don't want to see, I don't want to hear, insult him and say you are a stupid fool, wicked man. Your serpent seed, you have been wrapping me with whatever, bloody fool. Get out of my life in the name of Jesus. Serpent seed machine. You have been producing a lot of serpent seeds and speaking serpent seeds into my life, destroying my nature, even my who I am. You have changed who I am. Ooh. Make sure you send a message. Send a message to that man. Right now, I take your phone. Go offline and send a message. This is the last time you hear from me. And make sure you insult the person. Every sending, send a message to that man, send a message to that girl, the girl who is trying to bring you down. Send a message. You are a serpent seed, and I've seen it. Your words combined with my normal feelings as a normal person, you have spoiled my life. The last, every sending now, every sending. If there are three people, send to all three. It's a broadcast. And when you insult the person will know that something has changed. Because when a person gives you the serpent seed, you've been saying, like a fool, you receive the seed. Jesus said, I should change stones into bread. Are you mad? Are you mad? I'm sure Jesus would have slapped Satan, but he has prepared a pit for him to put him in. It's just a matter of time. You remember I told you about the six types of hell, six hells. Yes, abusos. Then the last seed, not the last, but the seed before this one is the seed of shortcuts. The serpent seed is the seed of shortcuts. Shortcuts. Yes. Anytime you are getting a seed, a word which is giving you, edging you on a shortcut, watch out. The devil taketh him, Matthew 4 verse 8, into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world which he has come to die for and the glory of them. And he said, I will give them to you if you fall down and worship me. Just worship me once. No cross. You'll not die again. Your mission ends here. This is the shortest route to the salvation of the whole world. I will give them to you. I own them. I will give them all to you. Ha! This is very short. Jesus had 3 years to go of preaching with persecutions, troubles, cross, pain, crucifixion. I'm sure every time he thought of the cross, people are wicked though. They invented the way to die by crucifixion. There was a famous fighter called Hannibal. It was his father who started the crucifixion. He was just a teenager when he started fighting with his father. And his father, he was like 9 years old. He started fighting with his father up to about 19 when his father died. And He was merciless. If you do from Carthage, Morocco, that side, if you play, they just hang you. They just put you on a cross. Yes, you go on. You go on. You know, so by the time Jesus came, you know, all these things were advanced methods. Are you there? So, every shorter way, I want you to know there's no shorter way. For the ministry, God has called you. There's no short way. Every big church starts as a small church. There's no way to have a big church by just existing. You have to start as a small church and to become a big church. It's hard. You go through. So 190 nations are waiting for us. And it's hard for us to send the people that we love to all these nations to go and fight there and live there. But we are going to send them to every nation. We are no more going to just have 90 countries. We are going 190 nations. Young people are going to go. Old people are also going to go. Everybody is going to go. Every going. Are you listening to me? Amen. Is it exciting? Amen. And then, the seed of accusations. Every accusation, false accusation, is a seed that enters you. And you have to be careful. Accusations make you into an accuser yourself. When you are accused, you become an accuser. And it changes your personality. It makes you weaker. That's why the Bible says strength has come because the accuser has been cast down. Accusation weakens you. So whatever you accuse. So the reason why somebody accused me of preaching about people serving God is because Satan wants to weaken me so I don't say it too much. The way I should say it. He doesn't want me to say it in that way and encourage young people to give their lives to serve him. He wants me to be weak when it comes that I'll just, cool, or let me have a camp about something good for Christian life. You know, that's where certain camps like Kryptos Man and all those, they come with just Christianity. Yes. Yes. Things like that. You say, it's like I shouldn't say too much. Pharaoh. When they get up, they say, Pharaoh is trying. Honest work. They say, honest work. You are preventing people from doing honest work. They are accusations to weaken me. Yes. That's why people say things about money. Why should the church be collecting offering? Can you imagine? Churches are closed down from now till whenever. If it's going to be the end of the year, that churches will be allowed to even meet or congregate again. What's going to happen to the church? I've seen some construction companies restarting work. And many companies have restarted. It's like, hey, Charlie, life has to go on. You don't know what's happening with this corona. Corona or no corona. But you see that they will not allow churches. Yeah. So what are we going to do? So why should we not take offerings? We need to take offerings. There are so many people that work in the church. So many projects that are going on. We are on television. Many people are watching on television now. And we are doing more television. More satellites to get on further. So to make it easier for people. Yes. Why the devil wants to weaken me so that I don't talk about what I should talk about. Accusations have that effect. So you just change. And you change. Your personality changes. An accused person is different. Because of different accusations I've had, I realized that at a point my personality even was changing. Yes, my personality was changing. Yes, my personality. That's the effect of accusations. You realize that the human being is changing. I realized that even your happiness goes away and you become depressive instead of a happy person. You're just sad. Yeah, that's the effect. So it's a serpent seed and you need to know how to reject it. Are you there?
Yes.
Revelations 12, then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser is cast down. Now the next seed of the serpent, the seed of resistance and opposition, is a serpent seed. Anything that is opposing to the will of God is a serpent seed, like words of opposition. Zechariah 3 verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan standing there to resist him. The only thing that he's doing is to resist. So I've gotten used to recognizing voices of resistance. Wow. Yes. And when I want to do something, and that was one of the things I noticed when I first came to the First Love Church in 2011. Anything I said we should do, about 15 people explained how it can be done immediately. But that was not what I was hearing in the grown-ups church. You either hear silence or even they give you reasons why things are dangerous and things cannot be done and so on. It's a different environment. But that apparently mature resistance or opposition, but it is couched in wisdom and good advice and respectability, is actually resistance. Yes. When I was going to build a certain church, I spoke to one of the professionals and he gave me reasons why not. And I think it was a Sunday. I said, tomorrow, I'll be there. If you come, you'll be part. If you don't come, I'll build without you. And I remember myself, I took paint and I marked the floor and I said, dig here. This is the building. I've laid out many buildings even in the night. You see me standing in the grass in the night with torches. I say, start from here to here to here. Because those apparent professionals were actually secretly, not intentionally or maliciously, without even them knowing, they are resisting the progress of the thing. And there's a lot of that. That's why churches are not built. That's why things don't get on. That's why the country is like that. Accra Kumasi Road is exactly the same as it was 4 years, 8 years, 16 years, 12 years, and it will be like that. Because there are many things that resist. If you suggest anything, you'll be surprised what you hear. High resistance to progress. It's spiritual. Are you there?
Yes.
So, that is that. And then the voice, the next seed of the serpent, the seed of betrayal. John 13 verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put where? Into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Wow. Satan put it in to Judas's heart to betray him. He had planted the seed. Are you there?
Yes.
You don't like my message? Now, I want to give you six definitions of what it means to betray somebody. It means to deliver or expose to an enemy. You see, you deliver or expose something to an enemy. Number two, it means to be unfaithful in guarding or maintaining something. Number three, it means to disappoint the hopes or expectations, all right, of you being loyal. Disappoint you. Somebody who disappoints you. Number four, it means to betray means to reveal or disclose in violation of confidence. To betray a secret is to reveal or disclose something that is a secret. Yes. Number five, it means to reveal unconsciously. You may not even be conscious that you are revealing. To reveal unconsciously something one would prefer concealed.
Okay.
like something that someone will prefer. I prefer that this is not known or not announced. I prefer. I'm reading from the dictionary. It means to reveal unconsciously, all right, something one would prefer concealed. Number six, it means to show or exhibit something. You betray your feelings. You exhibit something that you have not intended to exhibit. Number seven, to deceive or misguide or corrupt. All right? Now, they use the sentence, a young lawyer betrayed by political ambitions. So, it also means to deceive and misguide people. So, if you deceive and misguide people about the church, about anything that has to do with God's work, or about your leader, or about somebody who has trusted you, do you understand? You are a betrayer. Amen. Amen. And the devil planted that seed and made it that he cannot trust you. That's betrayal. I don't think we really know. The Bible says, and after supper was ended, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, to explain or expose where Jesus lives, how Jesus operates, what he does at this time, what is he doing, where is he, what are the things to know about him. It's one of the most wicked things. And that's why Judas is not popular at all. He's not popular. I have not found him to be popular. Have you found Judas to be popular? No. I'll read the definition again to you. To deliver or expose to an enemy. Wow. Huh? To be unfaithful. If you are unfaithful, you are a betrayer. If you are married and you are unfaithful, you are a betrayer. You've betrayed. To be unfaithful in guarding. Number three, to disappoint. The expectations. You disappoint some. You disappointed us. Number four, it means to reveal or disclose a secret. No, you see, you must be somebody who must be told, please don't mention this. But you might as well say, please mention it 100 times. Can you spread the news for me? Can you please spread this news for me? Can you broadcast for me, please, to my enemy? Number six, or five, to reveal unconsciously something one would prefer concealed. It's like, no, I'll prefer not to. I'll prefer not to urinate in front of you. Ah. And number six, to show or exhibit something you have not intended to show. And then number seven, to deceive, misguide, or corrupt, spoil. This is what, and Satan put it. It was a serpent seed. Yes. So, and you know something? Almost every film has this thing in it. It has people who are lying, people who are betraying something. Do you understand? Yes. It's almost like you can't get a good film which doesn't have this. Yes. Yes. If you look at Rambo, there is it in it. In the beginning, he comes home and he meets somebody who doesn't behave as you expect him to behave. Yes. Disappoint him. Misguide. So watch out so that you don't join a long list of betrayers who are cursed. It's an accursed position to be in. We have the things that the devil does. One is to lie, but the other is to betray. I'm just trying to help you to understand that there is a specific sin called betrayal. It's a serpent seed. And it's different from deceiving someone. Deceiving someone is one line. One line. Then betraying is another compartment altogether. And that is, it means, give me back my meanings, is to deliver in a way, expose someone to your enemy. Like if you talk about someone in a way, you expose the person, you expose, you say, oh, he's this and that. You don't mind him. He's like this and that. This is what he does and this is what. You expose things. He said this. He told me I should do this. He said this. He said that. It's like, oh, but even if I told you, I didn't expect you to say it in that way. Or even when you said it's like, how you said it, you are exposing me in a way to be unfaithful. An unfaithful person. To disappoint. It's like, you must also live your life. I won't disappoint you. I won't disappoint you. You trust me. I will not disappoint you. You can trust me. I'll be there. That's why we sing the song. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm sorry, I can't sing it well, but that's something like that. Yeah. Yes. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. I'll be there. But it's like, whenever you need me, I'll disappoint you. I'll not be there. I'll not be where you thought I'll be. Yes. To reveal or disclose secrets. There are jobs that don't have secrets and there are jobs that have secrets. Yes. You cannot have a betrayer in a realm where there are secrets. And that means you cannot be high. You cannot be high up. You cannot work high up because there are always... There are secrets. I wouldn't be surprised if they come and tell us one day, this is how coronavirus is. This is what it is. This is how it comes about. This is why. This is why. The real things about this thing. Yes. Yes. Why it is that something that kills more than 7,000 people in Ghana, no one addresses it. But something that has killed 8 people or 6 people or whatever, it has possessed the whole nation. No, I mean, if it's numbers of people are important, if it's numbers of people that are important, that would be it. Amen? Amen. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes. How come? But you'll be surprised that up there, there are higher levels. Amen. Everything is not as it seems to be. Finally, how many serpent seeds do you have?
Nine.
Oh, 9. Oh, then you are advanced. You are more even advanced than I thought. What is the first serpent seed? The seed of what?
Obedience.
Number 2. Seed of what?
False
doctrine. The next one. False safety and security. Okay? Yes. The next one. Seed of misdirection of your life. Isn't it? Fly. Jump. Huh. Satan is bad. Jump out of your friendships and your relationships and your jump away from your father. Number 5. Yes. Following of desires. Don't follow it. Number 7. Shortcuts. No more shortcuts for you. Long cuts. We are going by the... You know, years ago, let me tell you a story. Something happened to me. In our school, we had what we call cross-country. Cross-country. And somebody told me, all right, that there was a shortcut through the forest. Yes. So when we started, I had to run through the whole for about, I don't know how many miles. And I said, no, I cannot do this. So when I got to the shortcut, and there, I tried. You see, when I came to the shortcut, they were there waiting. They said, look, we have caught you. So that is one of the few shortcuts I've tried today, but I was caught. Because, you see, before you come, they know that you are going to do that. So no more shortcuts in your life. Amen. There's a long way to success, to prosperity, to ministry. Amen. The next one is what? The seed of accusation. Don't allow accusation to change your personality, to change you. A happy person will just be quiet. You'll be sad and be depressed. And accusation is not talking about something that is real. It's talking about something that is far from the truth, but it's being plastered on you daily. That's accusation. It's not true, but it's being plastered on you. Yes. There's a difference. The next one is what? The seed of resistance. recognize the seed of resistance. And the next one is the seed of betrayal. Okay. Now, 10 is a complete number. When you have 10 commandments, you have all the commandments you need. So let me give you at least one more, so that is 10, and then we'll close. The seed of hypocrisy. Wow. Yes. Yes, the seed of hypocrisy. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. And in the meantime, when they were gathered together on an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of the word of the Pharisees, because it's hypocrisy. It makes you a hypocrite. A hypocrite is an actor. Not be real. Yes. That's why I said over and over, me, I don't support parties. No. I speak for God. Yes. I can't. You can't. I belong to God. I belong to God. Yes. How can I speak for this or speak for that? I have to speak for God. That's what changes us into pretenders. Yes. So you have to be careful. There are things that come into your life to change you and you become a pretender. Now you realize that this is what you say and this is what you say on the other side. So you speak secretly about evil and then openly about you say something else. So nobody trusts anybody because no one knows what you really think. So now you have to start gauging and always assuming. If I see you talking to this one, I assume that you are my enemy. If I see you chatting with this person, I know that it's an enemy. If you have a meeting with this person, it means you are an enemy. Because nobody is real. And it's a seed of hypocrisy. And sometimes you see that you have now listened to somebody and you've learned how to pretend and to act. The lying has entered your skin and your blood. Yes. When we see you, we know we can never tell. We can never tell. There are some people you can never trust. You can look at the person and you think you never know what the person can say or do. Yeah. Because the person is a good actor. You know, yesterday I watched a film. The person in the film was a commander of a ship. No, but I didn't check the name of the actor before I watched it. But at the end, I was so surprised who it was. I said, this man has become a captain of a ship in the film. I was so surprised that he can captain. He's like, he's lying. Everything he can be, he's in so many films. And I've done so many different things. And it's like, he's a different person from every time he's a different person. Today he's this, tomorrow he's a soldier, tomorrow he's in a ship, the next time he's this, a husband, I mean, different. Hypocrisy means acting. Yes. When you are with this group, you are act like this. When you are here, you speak like this. When you are here, you say this. When you go to this side, you say this. When you go to this, when you go, you say, don't mind him. These foolish people, they are all about. They just get up and they say this and that and that. Then you go here. Nobody knows. Yes. Always have in your mind that what I say in front of you, I can say that. If I say this, I've said it. Yes. Don't allow that seed to start. Once it starts, you grow in it. You'll be surprised what you become. When you grow, when people have the seed of hypocrisy, as the Pharisees, when Jesus came to meet them, and they were the epitome of pretense. Their prayers were not real. Their fasting was not real. Their clothes were not real. Their titles were not real. Nothing was real about them. They were the representations of the devil. And that's what happens when the seed of pretense comes in. That's why when people come, oh, we want to carry your bag. I say, I can carry my bag myself. Don't carry my bag. If you meet me somewhere, don't try to carry my bag. I don't like it. If you want to carry my Bible, hold your own Bible. Hold your own Bible. Don't be too respectful. That not as soon as you leave, then the person is saying something else. We have so much of that. You see ladies with people are holding your handbag, walking behind you. You don't know what they say after you, behind you. Yes. Go and see. You see Kotoka holding a spear, a sword, marching behind Kwame Nkrumah. You don't know the meetings they were having. As soon as he traveled to where? Hanoi. Smiling like that. You should go to the mausoleum. You see General Kutuka standing there, six of them around President Nkrumah, smiling. His main guys. You never know what they are thinking behind you. So don't be so happy with that. And let us not be pretentious. Yes, we are not real. By the grace of God, I try to be real. You know, if I believe in this, I say this, I believe in this, I believe in this. I believe. Most of the time, it's just set aside as nonsense. But I'm getting older now, and I'm seeing that a lot of the things I'm saying are real and true, and they are happening. Yes. So be careful of becoming an actor, because there is a seed. When it enters you, and you see that you've joined everybody, and everybody is acting. Everybody. Everybody is pretending. Nobody is real. And it goes in groups. That's why Jesus said, beware of that leaving. It will come into you, my disciples. You will not be real anymore. You will not be real anymore. And I want to encourage us. That's a serpent seed. It's a serpent seed. That's why Jesus warned, be careful of that leaving. He called it a leaving, something that will grow in you. You are not a real thing, person. And it goes in groups. A person who is not real infects another person to be also not real. And he infects another one. So in the end, all of you are some way. There's a group that are some way. You're all pretending people. It's one of the evils from Satan. That's why the devil comes as an angel of light. That's why I preach about loyalty and disloyalty. To unearth and uncover the wickedness of disloyalty. And the wickedness of Judas was eating bread. Jesus took the bread and put it in his Judas' mouth. Judas opened. Then Judas opened his mouth. He was so close to him. I mean, can you imagine if your brother does that and he's serving someone, a lady who is not his wife, and they say, hey, what type of, are you serving her? I mean, it's a kind of lovey type of tea that you are giving the person bread. What is that? A soft bread in Milo, and then you are serving you, and you are just feeding the person. Darling, that's what Jesus was doing with Judas. So close. I've written a song about Judas. Yes, he's singing it for you soon. Ka sa ta sha pala. Make sure that spirit. You see, these things, they are things that I'm explaining. Don't be a Judas. Be faithful. Be faithful. Learn to have a good spirit, a faithful spirit, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that the serpent seed is being challenged seriously. We reject all types of serpent seeds in our lives. And we declare livings of hypocrisy, words of accusations, and wickedness of resistance, shortcuts, serpent seeds, words spoken to us will never succeed in being planted in our spirit, in Jesus' name. Every standing, wherever you are, in your house, in your room, standing, please. Every standing, and close your eyes. If you are here, maybe you are listening, you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to pray a very short prayer, and you are going to be born again right now. Close your eyes and put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I open my heart. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. I give my life to Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, cleanse me. Forgive me. Wash me from all my sins and all my wickedness. From today, I give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Giving your life to Christ. I want to send you a book called How You Can Avoid Going to Hell. I think that's what it's called. How to Avoid Going to Be Born Again and Avoid Going to Hell. What a blessing. If you don't have one, write to us and ask for it. We'll send you an ebook straight away, okay? Out there. What a blessing. Now, we are going to receive communion, and I'm going to pray for all of us. Father, thank you for the great opportunity that we have to receive communion at this time.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, it is the meal of God. Ooh, it will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, as we take this bread, I say and declare that the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, wherever you are watching part of this service. Father, I thank you that the plague of death, the pestilence, the wickedness, the death that stalketh by day and by night, cannot, will not be a part of us and cannot be upon us in the name of Jesus. As we partake of the body of Jesus, whatever germ cannot rest in the body of Jesus, it cannot rest on us. In Jesus' name, we are healed, we are covered. In Jesus' name, the body of Jesus Christ. Says, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, hold up the blood, your communion in your heart. When I see the blood, Father, we thank you as we come before your throne. This is now the blood, your blood, the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. Let this plague pass over our heads. Amen. And pass away. Amen. Let none of us be infected. Amen. Give us divine heavy protections. Yes, Lord. And salvation. We are grateful and we are thanking you. Across the world, from Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Australia, India, America, England, France, Nigeria, South Africa, Botswana, Malawi, the Caribbean islands. Lord, thank you. We lift up the blood. Let the curse pass over. And let us never be infected. We thank you for crossing 70 with ease. Thank you for your blessing. I love you, Father, and I thank you for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Lift your hands for your blessing. May you divinely escape the plagues of Egypt. May no dark shadow come to your house forevermore. Whatever darkness represents, it cannot envelop your house. In Jesus' name, be free and be covered. Now lift your hand up high, every standing, and say these words. In this pandemic, I shall become more spiritual, more anointed, more filled with the Holy Spirit. I am anointed, blessed, delivered, covered by the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you. May the Lord heal you. Anyone who is not well watching, anyone who is infected by the corona or any other virus or germ, receive your healing and total recovery. I discharge you from every clinic and hospital and every bad place where you are. Be delivered from it now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be free by the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Raining for you when I'm just 16. Raining for you when I'm just 16. When Uzziah was 16 years old, he began to reign in Israel. He reigned in Israel for 52 long years. Uzziah listened to his mother. He did what was right in the sight of God. Ooh yeah, he walked in the ways of his father. I know I'm not too young to reign for you. I wanna reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me so young. Raining for you when I'm just 16. Ooh yeah, raining for you when I'm just 16. Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Uzziah fought against the enemies. He broke down the walls of the enemies. Ooh, yeah. And God helped him. I know I'm not too young to reign for you. I want to reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me so young. Reigning for you when I'm just 16. Come on, reigning for you when I'm just 16. I'm past 16 now, I don't want to waste my life doing all sorts of things with my body. I heard of Uzziah, the little boy who became a king. I want to work for Jesus from 16, just like Uzziah, the young king. You can use me, Jesus, ooh yeah, to work for you, yeah, yeah. I know I'm not too young to reign for you. I want to reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me so young. Raining for you when I'm just 16. Come on, raining for you when I'm just 16. Oh yeah, raining for you when I'm just 16. Ooh, raining for you when I'm just 16. Come on. Just like Uzziah, you can use me, Lord, ooh yeah, to work for you, yeah. I know I'm not too young to reign for you. I want to reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me so young. Raining for you when I'm just 16. Are you ready to reign? Raining for you when I'm just 16. Come on, raining for you when I'm just 16. Ooh, raining for you when I'm just 16.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every week. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.